Rishus Marina Rabshlita. In your introduction, Howard, you touched on a very interesting question, because a lot of people regard Zemiras just as ballads and Sabbath songs, and there is a much deeper significance which we're going to investigate. It is in fact puzzling that the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, the Rambam don't put any emphasis directly on the subject of Zemiras on Shabbos, but it's other sources which do. The Sefer Hasidim, which was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, this was well before the Hasidic movement, it's not called a Sefer for Hasidim, he wrote in his Sefer Mitzvah Sheyeshe V'Yeranim V'Shabbosos Shavachos that it is a mitzvah to actually sit on Shabbos and to sing Shenoma, as it says in the Pasuk Mizmo Shir L'Yom HaShabbos Tov L'Hadosh L'Hashem. One should give thanks to Hashem, and it's based on the Pasuk Vayavarech Elokim Es Yom HaShvi Vayikadesh. So Hashem blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. And in the Pasuk Vayavarech Hashem Ulazame L'Shimcha Elyon, to sing to your great name. Where does this all come from? Cain told his father Adam HaRishon about the power of Teshuvah after he had killed his brother. And Adam didn't even realize that there was such a great thing such as Teshuvah. And he was saying, had I known, I would have done this before and atoned for eating from the Eitz Hadas, for what I had done. And Shabbos came and he said, based on this Pasuk, Vayavarech Elokim Es Yom HaShvi, he felt the feeling of Teshuvah which Shabbos gives him. Shabbos is a lashon of Teshuvah, same letters. And he sang, Mizmo Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. And the Siddur of the Yavatz of Yaakov Enten, Veshein the Medrash of Shir HaShirim, says, Negud HaShoreh, one should have, there's the custom of singing, Shekein Derech Yisrael Mesha'ochin V'shosin, when people eat and drink V'sameichin on Shabbos, Oskin V'shiros V'shishbachos, they are involved with such singing and praises. And there is in fact a remes to this in Megillas Esther, because there in Perek Aleph it says Bayom HaShvi Katov Lev HaMelech Bayoyin, on the seventh day when the king was busy with wine. Why does it mention the seventh day? Ask the Gemara in Megillah Yud Beis. Lama Yom HaShvi Shabbos Hayo, it was Shabbos She Yisrael Ochlim Neshosin, because when the Jewish people sit down to eat and to drink, Umaschinin Divrei Torah V'Divrei Shishbachos, and they tell Divrei Torah and they sing Shishbachos praises, Aval Ovdei Kachovim, but what are the Gentiles doing? They're only dealing with mundane matters. So the question is, why isn't it stressed so much in the Shulchan Aruch and certain other poskim? It is in fact stressed by the Shlach HaKadosh, and he says after eating one should sing Zemiros Shabbos LaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Siduros Shel Shabbos writes in Hey Zayin. He says, Zemiras become a very personal thing, because your Simcha of Shabbos should be expressed in your own personal feeling of way, and we can't impose that feeling, and therefore it doesn't need an actual command. It doesn't need an actual specification of a tzivoy that you have to do what you're doing. But it's brought down in so many different sources, and the Sefer Pele Yoetz says, in Mareches Shir, B'Shabbosos V'Yomtov, Royal Ahavos B'Shiros, you should actually multiply on your songs. And this, he says, is Avdus Hashem Chashuva Me'od, a very important way of serving Hashem. There are in fact two meanings of the word Zemiras. Zamer means song. Azamer Bishvachin, I will sing praises, is one of the famous Zemiras at the very, very beginning. Azamer Bishvachin, which is purported to be written by the Arizal. But there is another meaning of the word Zemer. Zemira also means cutting. It's the word used for pruning trees. It's told of Shabbos not to cut. What does it mean, cutting? It's to cut up the accusers. Because when you are celebrating Shabbos, you're doing a form of teshuva. It's greater than fasting. And a person who keeps the Shabbos properly and celebrates on Shabbos properly is mokelinu al kol avonosof. He is forgiven for all his sins. So what are you doing when you're singing Zemiros? You are casting away at the accusers, the Mekatrin, by singing praises to Hashem. And what's more is by singing, you're removing temptations of the Yetzer Hara because you're elevating yourself away from that. Says the Menorah Samar in Chelek Aleph Pei Gimel, the thing you are doing by Zemiris is cutting away the evils and elevating yourself to Kedusha. And in fact, when we talk about Odom Arishon, the word Zemer is related to the word Nochosh, the snake, which led him to do the sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas, because the Sefer Azam HaShochin says that the letters Nochosh and Zemer, the one lot precedes the other lot. If you take Zayin Mem Resh, after the Zayin comes the Ches, after the Mem comes the Nun, and after the Resh comes the Shin, and those are the letters which spell Nochosh, the source for all sins. So it's an awakening to do Teshuvah. And in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar in Perek Yotes, he says, Bizchus Shabbos nitzel odo midino shel Gehinnom. Because of Shabbos, a person is saved from Gehinnom, and Odom Arishon recognized this. The koch of Shabbos is to do Teshuvah, and that's why he started singing Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. And the Likutei Maharan says in Tanino Lamed Aleph, Al Yedei HaNegino, as a result of singing Odom Nikor Im Kibbol Olav Al Torah. He says it is related to accepting upon oneself the Al HaTorah, the actual acceptance of Torah. How can this be so? Because, he says, in Bamidbar, it talks about when the B'nai Kohos were carrying the Oron. The Oron, which symbolizes the Torah, and the Pasuk says, B'kesef Yeso. So they carried it on their shoulders, and Chazal Darshan in Gemara Arachin Yud Aleph, Ein Yisu Eloloshin Shira. Carrying is an expression of song, Shanam, as it says in the Pasuk, Su'u Zimra Usnu Sof in Tehillim Pei Aleph, and therefore he combines the idea of carrying this with the Oron with Zemiris of Shabbos. And as we know, the concept of Shira generally is to give thanks. Oz Yoshir Moshe V'nei Yisrael. That is the Shira. And we've got a number of Shiros which express thanks to the Divine. Shiras Tevorah, Shiras David, and so on. And it's written that in the time of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, the Yiddishkeit of Klal Yisrael was so wonderful and so great, Mashiach was destined to come. But Hashem held back. The reason why Mashiach did not come is because Chizkiyahu made one mistake. He did not sing a Shira. Had he done so, at that moment, Mashiach would have come. Says the Yismach Moshe, at the beginning of the Zos HaBrocha, he says, Kabbalah biyodeinu, it's a Kabbalah bias, shehazmiros, shenispashtu, the Yisrael, the Zmiros, which we sing on Shabbos, Nemru Beruach HaKodesh. They were formulated at the time that they were written with Ruach HaKodesh. And this is something very important, because they're not just ballad songs, as you've said. That with Ruach HaKodesh they were written. And the Chasam Sofer says, on Samo Nafshi, Libi of Asari Ranu Kelchoi, he says, without doubt this was written by Ruach HaKodesh. It contains hidden ideas of Kabbalah, which come out from the words of the Zemiros. Now, a person might say, well, I don't have a very good voice, I can't sing. Note that it says, Posuk says, the Sefer Ozor, Zemiris Yomeru v'sisprochos Yashmir. It says Zemiris Yomeru. Why doesn't it say Zemiris Yazamru? Because there's an idea of saying and not just singing. It's not just a tune. It's your kavona with the words, and it's saying the Divrei Torah, which is inside the words. And when we say that you should say Divrei Torah at the table of Shabbos, some people might not feel up to it to say Divrei Torah properly, but there are Divrei Torah embodied inside the Zemiros. Not just of praise, but even halachos. You can marry off your daughters. Chafatzecho asurim, but nevertheless, business matters you don't deal with on Shabbos. So there are halachos inside those Zemiros. The word Zemer also has the same letters as Remez, which is that there is a lot hinted at in the Zemiros. Now the question is, do you have to sing Zemiros on Shabbos? And there is in fact the Minchas Chinuch, which says that to fulfill the mitzvah of Zochas Yom HaShabbos the Kaddisho, you don't really have to do anything. It is a mitzvah which if you sit and do nothing, you still got your mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. Why? Because you're not doing any melacha. You're not doing any work on Shabbos. You sit and do nothing and you lie in bed. You've done a mitzvah, Zoches Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. Came along Rav Chaim Shmulevich, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Meir, and he said, I disagree with Ilim Chaschinuch. He was entitled to, he was also an Achron. He said, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zohar of Shabbos, it's not enough. Shomar of Shabbos is not to have any malacha done, not to refrain from work. But the mitzvah of Zohar of Shabbos is to make the kiddush with the wine, and to have the three meals of Shabbos, and to sing the Zemiras properly. And that is part of the mitzvah of Zoches Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. And as we know from Chazal, Hashir Ma'orer HaLev, song awakens the heart, and that will give a person the emotion in Avodas Hashem. It's not enough just to have the intellect when we serve Hashem. It's a combination of the mind, the intellect, and of the heart, of the emotion. And the two have to work in tandem with each other. And that's why when we wear tefillin, we wear the tefillin shel Rosh, which symbolizes the intellect, and the tefillin shel Yad, which goes next to the heart, which is the emotion. And with those two combined, we can succeed in Avodas Hashem. But if we only adopt one of those, then there's something missing. Now, it's not going to be possible to go today through all the Zemiras or to teach any tunes. We'll have to do that some other time. But in the Sefer Ohr HaShabbos, the very first one of the Zemiras it lists is in fact something which people generally don't seem to sing, and that is the letter which Shabbos sent to the Ibn Ezra. A very interesting, beautiful piece of Hebrew poetry which starts with Ani Shabbos Ateres Das Yikarim Revius Ba'aseres Hadvarim. I'm Shabbos, the crown of the faith, of the dear faith, the fourth of the commandments, of the Ten Commandments. Uvein Hashem, uvein Bono, v'ani Os, and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His sons, I am the sign, Baris Olam L'chol Darim V'darim, an everlasting covenant for generations. And this beautiful stanza of poetry, in fact, has a very interesting story about it, because it happened in London, London, UK, of all places. Because in the year 1158, the Ibn Ezra came to London and he had this dream, and he writes a letter. He says, on the Shabbos 14th of Teves, I, Avraham the Sfardi, was in a city at the far end of the world. Well, America wasn't discovered yet. And I slept and I saw in my dream an angel, and there stood a man with a letter, and he said to me, take this letter, it is from the Shabbos. The Shabbos is actually giving you this letter. And I bowed to Hashem, and I gave blessing for the honor that I had received. And I took the letter with both hands, and it began to read to me like sweet honey. But as I read the last few lines, I had a shock and almost fainted. Because at the last few lines, it says, V'shom kosov l'chalel yom ha'shvi, those who are desecrating the seventh day. And how can this be done? So you should send this letter to all those with faith and to dispatch it to all the Jewish people. And I got a shock from this, and I asked this man in the dream, what have I done wrong? I've always loved the Shabbos. And he answered, Shabbos is in pain. A book has been written which states not to observe the Sabbath on Friday evening, but only to start it from the morning into the night. And there were people who were believing that Shabbos can start in the morning and carries on through the day into the following night. And therefore, go forth, he said, and honor Shabbos, wage war with the enemies of Shabbos. And then I woke up, and I examined what had been this book he told about, and I found it, the claiming that night follows day, and I tore it up. And I did my best to spread the word of Shabbos. The most beautiful piece of Hebrew poetry, which I can show you later if you like. So that is the letter which was written from Shabbos to the Ibn Ezra in the city of London, UK. And the Ohr HaChaim, very interestingly enough, the Perush on the Chumash, Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh, actually refers to this incident in his Perush on Parshas Kedoshim, Ish Imo Ve'oviv Tiro Ves Shabso Sai Tishmaru, that one should fear one's mother and father and one must keep the Shabbos. And he refers to this story of the Ibn Ezra as a nais, as a miracle. And he then goes on to explain that the evening is compared to the mother and the day is compared to the father, and therefore the Pasuk says Ish imo lo vitiro, that the Shabbos starts with the evening followed by the day. Now, what is an interesting observation when we look at the Zemiras is there is so much reference to foods. Alright, food is a favourite subject of mine. But why is it that if something is so spiritual, which elevates us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to our spiritual welfare, why are we singing about such mundane subjects as menus? For example, in Yom Zeh Mechubod we say, Bosa v'dogim v'chol matamim, meat and fish and all the delicacies. Or Lisaneg v'sanugim barburim uslov v'dogim. And then we say b'mishne lechem b'kiddush rabba b'rov mat'amim ruach nediva. We say menucha v'simcha with all the lovely foods and delicacies. And in the Zemiras of my office it says l'cho bosa v'gam dogim, meat and with fish. Okay, we serve Shabbos with nice foods, but why is it that these spiritual ballads, as they were written with Ruach HaKodesh, contain so much about foods and about menu? Now it's interesting because I've got a good friend who was moving house just before Pesach, and he thought to himself with his wife that, you know, to make life a bit easier with all the moving house, when Pesach comes in they'll just bring out one set of kelim for milchiks, and they won't bother with all the fleishiks as well. And he mentioned this to Rav Chaim Halpern Shlita, and Rav Chaim told him off. He said to him, no, when it comes to Yom Tov you should have fleishiks. So what did this friend of mine say to Rav Chaim Halpern? He said, what do you mean you should have fleishiks? He says, my friend's father, Mr. Pick, my father, Olav Shalom, he never eats meat. He's a life vegetarian, so why should I have to have fleishiks on Pesach? So Rav Chaim Halpern said, look, if he never eats meat during the week, fine, then he doesn't have to eat meat on Shabbos. But if you eat meat normally during the week, then you have a duty to honor Shabbos or Yom Tov with it. Because if that's your favorite food, that is how you will honor the Shabbos and how you will honor the Yom Tov. It's an interesting halacha, because if you look in the Darkei Moshe al Atur, which is really the Ramah, the Ramah writes in Yeridah Simon Shin Mem Aleph, he says, Hod of a Shabbos Yom Tov Ochel Boso V'Shosa Yain, where it talks about eating meat and drinking wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Hainu Im Yirtzeh. It's simply if you want to. You don't have to. Im Yirtzeh Lechol, Aber Einu Mechuyev, you don't have a duty. Lo Lechol Boso V'Lishtos Yain B'Shabbos. There is definitely no duty to eat meat and to drink wine on Shabbos. But that was the psak which Rav Chaim Halpern gave to my friend. Nevertheless, even if there is some sort of duty to eat these nice foods, why is there so much emphasis on them in the Zemiras? In the Torah it says in Parshas Kedoshim, Kedoshim tir, you shall be holy. What does it mean, you shall be holy? Does it mean simply that you shall daven three times a day and you shall not do malacha on Shabbos? So Rashi there brings down the Chazal, Kadesh atzmecha b'mashe mutaloch. How do you become holy? The way you become holy is to take the mundane aspects of life and to elevate them to Kedusha by serving Hashem with them. So that when you sit down at your Shabbos table and you will make the brachas of Netilas Yadayim and Hamotzi, you will have made Kiddush beforehand, you will have guests at your table, you will have Divrei Torah at the table, you will be serving foods which you like, and you will be elevating the mundane to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that these mundane things will be elevated. The Hasidim put a lot of emphasis on this, and in the Tanya, that they bring to elevate to the service of Hashem all these mundane items. And Rav Hirsch writes how it's very important to understand that in Yiddishkeit we're not going to suppress your instincts to the extent that you abstain from them completely. That we will accept that the instincts of a person exist, but you divert them to Shem Shemayim. You will be able to serve Hashem with food and also the other instincts which a person has. If a person feels inclined towards immorality, he should realize that by fulfilling the mitzvah of marriage, he will be diverting his mundane instincts to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if a person has any other instinct, to acquire something out of a feeling of greed, chas v'shalom, he should know that the acquisition of mitzvahs and good deeds is something which will elevate himself to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the idea with food as well. You will be diverting your instincts in your cravings, your physical cravings for food, towards something which is towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, it still begs the question, why so much emphasis in the Zemiris on Bosa V'dogim V'chol Matamim V'saneg V'sanugim, etc. So I found a very interesting moshel which was taught by the Baal Shem Tov. He talks a story about a prince who is taken captive. And this prince, he's captured and he's very miserable. And one day he receives a letter from his father, the king, that his father's going to come and save him and release him. And of course, he's overjoyed. But if he starts getting up singing and dancing, he will just be ridiculed for it amongst his captives. So what does he do? He manages to get hold of some wine and other nice foods, and he invites everybody around him to a feast. And what happens? The others, they have a good fresh and they drink, and they get drunk from their drunkenness. And he gets elevated with happiness from the drinking. And so he says to them, right, let's now dance and sing. And he dances with them. They are dancing out of their drunkenness. And he is dancing out of his happiness. And so in the same way, says the Baal Shem Tov, the neshama of a person, the soul of the person, is like the prince who is taken captive. It's the soul is trapped inside the body. The soul wants to express exaltation on Shabbos, but the body has no real thrill about it, other maybe than getting a good shluf. But the body doesn't have that same feeling of joy like the soul has. But if that body can come to do some sort of celebration, which itself it feels, then the soul can be able to enjoy the holiness of the day with the neshama yaseira that a person has on Shabbos. So says the Baal Shem Tov, a most beautiful moshel. Well, that's dealing with meat and fish, v'chol matamim. But I found, interestingly enough, a number of other Zemiras which talk about another food. And that is one food which I like very much, and that's apples. Apples, you find interesting references to it in Azame B'Shvachim. Most people don't have a tune for Azame B'Shvachim, but it's right at the beginning of the Zemiras, so it's a beautiful, most beautiful Zemiras, and it ends off with the most lovely prayer about Parnosa and health and being saved from Gehinnom, the most lovely prayer. And there it says, Azame B'Shvachim, Nimelgo Pischin, Zvachakal Tapuchin. What does this mean? I will sing, or I will cut away my praises, bringing them through the gates. They are in the apple orchard, for they are holy. This was written by the Ari HaKadosh, another one of his Zemiras. He wrote Azame B'Shvachim. What is this business about apples? Alright, meat and fish, people regard them as the most wonderful foods in their meal, but what's the big deal about apples? And not only is it mentioned in Azame B'Shvachim, but in the prayer at the end it's repeated, L'chakal tapuchin kadishin, to moisten the field of the sacred apples. What's going on about apples here? And similarly, in the famous Zemiras of Bar Yochai, which we sing Lag BaOmer time, Bar Yochai velosadei tapuchim olisa lilkat bar mechokim. You came to a field of apples and entered it to pick confections. So what's going on here? It's there talking about blossoms and flowers and let's create man and so on, and there it's talking about apples. So I asked this question, in fact, to my 14-year-old son. And I said to him, Uriel, what's the big deal about apples? And he thought for a moment, he said, well, he said, maybe you can say the same letters, Tapuach is related to Pesach. And Pesach is an opening, and it's an opening towards Hashem. Anyway, I was fascinated to get this answer, Baruch Hashem. He's, basically, Hashem is everywhere, and he gives us openings. And we say in the Midrash Shehashirim, Pischuli kechudo shel machat. Hashem says to us, open up the hole like the eye of a needle, v'ani poseach lachem pesachim, and I will open up for you big archways. And Hashem is everywhere. So the idea of Pesach is that Hashem gives us an opportunity. Shabbos is as a man of teshuva, when we can return to Hashem. And our lives are blocked without Hashem. Our lives are meaningless without Hashem. So when we come to discover Hashem with a Pesach, with an opening, we reach the tapuach, the apples. And apparently, without being a Kabbalist myself, apples are mentioned very, very frequently throughout the Zohar, through the Kabbalah. Apples are a common fruit. They're found everywhere. And so is Hashem, found everywhere. And my son also recalled that when we talk in Shemos about the children being born up to six in one go, they were being born under the apple trees. Anyway, what is this big deal about apples, though? All right, we've heard one or two explanations, but I found a source for this in the Gemara in Tanis. In the Gemara in Tanis, Daf Kaftes on the base, Rabbi Huda Bereda Mishmuel, Vayomer Re'ei Re'ach, Benik Re'ach Sodeh Sheber Acho Hashem. Yaakov Avinu went to his father and got the bracha, which was originally destined for Esav. And when Yaakov Avinu came in, he came in with a certain reyach, a certain fragrance. A fragrance of the field, it says. And says the Gemara, Kareach Soda Shel Tapuchim. It was the fragrance of apples. What's the big deal about apples? If you look there in Tosfos, he says, Yesh Meforshim Tapuchim Kareach Esrogim. He says, apples are an expression, really, of something else, of Esrogim. Esrogim. What was the forbidden fruit which Adam HaRishon had with Chava in Gan Eden? The Farshim say it was the Esrog. I know the Goyim will say they ate the forbidden apples. It wasn't apples, and the Farshim say it was the Esrog which they ate. And the Maharsha says on that Gemara a very interesting idea. He says Yaakov Avinu was wearing the skins from Adam HaRishon, which he had clad on himself. They had been passed to Nimrod, and they were stolen by Esav, and they carried the fragrance of the fruit which were eaten in Gan Eden. There is another view, the Maharsha says, that it was only because of Yaakov's merit, because he learned Torah, that they carried this fragrance. But the main explanation is that they came originally from Adam HaRishon. Hence the apples. A very famous Zemira is Tzur Mishalom. And Reb Chaim of the Lashon was a bit nervous about singing this Tzur Mishalom. It's supposed to be sung at the end of the meal. Now, Emek Sheila brings down Kuf Lamud that Reb Chaim of the Lashon objected to it. Why? Because it relates to the various brachas of the benching. Hazon es olomo relates to Hazon es hakol. Al ha'oretz v'al ha'mozon v'shir v'kol todon v'orech l'elokeinu al eretz chemdotovo. And Rachim Bechastecho, Ben David Abdecho, Tubeni Rachim Bishlaim Omein. And the last one, there was a bracha added later, Yibone Hamikdosh, and Ol Kos Yain Molei. And that was written after the Churban, when we want the rebuilding of the base Hamikdosh. So Reb Chaim Volozhin actually says, don't sing Tzur Mishalom, because you will thereby be Yotze, your benching, Min HaRaisa. Because you say, Savanu Varsanu Kidvar Hashem, we are satisfied from our eating. And the essence of the Zemira is as if you're benching, you're thanking Hashem for your food, and then you can no longer bench. And Gershon Hepner actually told me this morning that Rav Cooper once paskened that when you sing Tzur Mishalom, you shouldn't sing it with a shame. Savanu Varsanu Kidvar Hashem. Say Hashem, don't say Hashem's real name, in order not to have this problem of being Yotzer the benching, and then that you can't bench. However, Sfarim bring down that there is a minhag to sing it, and people do sing it with Hashem's name, and Rabbi Cooper certainly said that the other Zemiras, you do include Hashem's name, something that you shouldn't, but he said that you do. I knew somebody who refrained from doing so because he constantly got interrupted by the children. And so he didn't sing Hashem's name in the Zemiras. Another interesting halacha which comes down on Zemiras is the subject of Kol Isha. The family sitting together, Baruch Hashem, and there's a wonderful togetherness. So the women are singing with the men. All right, if it's the same family, maybe it's not such an issue, although some hold that there is an issue. But what about when there are guests? If you have guests at your table, and I've got a friend and he's got, Kanai Nahara, quite a number of daughters, and he's trained them to sing with him the Zemiras, What is the din when somebody's singing at the somebody's singing with the women, and you have a guest at the Shabbos table? Is it right that this guest should be subject to listening to everybody else's zemiras, where they hear the kolishon? The tshuva was brought by the Sridei Eish, Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, in Chelek Beis Simon Ches, a well-known tshuva. And he asks this question, and his paskening is a bit different though to other paskim. He says that when it came to the Shiras Devorah of Atosho Devorah Vorak Ben Avinoam, so there's an interesting idea that Devorah, when she sang her Shira, Barak was there and sang with her. And he says that because these are Shirei Kodesh, they are holy songs, people will not get distracted to immorality, and therefore his psak is leheta for men and women to sing together Zemiras Shel Shabbos, but only Zemiras Shel Shabbos. However, there are other poskim who don't follow that line. Rav Waldenberg in the Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Zayin Kafches, he says Kodesh Ha'erva, it's not right. And Rav Zilbin Oz Nidbaru writes in a couple of places in Chelek Gimel Ayin Aleph and also in Chelek Tes Nun Tes, he says that it is only correct that when there are other women who are, sorry, when there are guests who are present, that the women subdue themselves and not sing, certainly in an audible way. And if you should argue Trei Kale Lodi Mishtanoi, that there is some who say that two voices together are not really heard properly, and therefore with the women singing with the men you can't hear them, he doesn't accept that principle for Kolishon. There are a number of other ideas brought in Halachas. Some say that it's a good idea to carry on the meal into night in order that the mitzvah of Suda is Bizmano at night time. So that is one of the reasons why we sing Zemiras, to lengthen the meal. Some say that at the time of Bein HaMetzorim, and we are now in the 9 days, there are those who say that the Zemiras should be just done in a more subdued way and not such a joyful way, but I haven't seen this in any other sources other than Sefer Techumin. There are others who say that you should not take non-Jewish songs, non-Jewish tunes, and adapt them, even though there are some who argue that they were taken in eventually back from the Levian, they were from us anyway. He doesn't hold this, brought in the Sefer Techumin. He says try to avoid non-Jewish tunes. I find this difficult because really there's no real such thing nowadays as Jewish music. In fact, the late Modzitzer Rebbe said, "Anigun is nisht makabel tumah." The Ozer Rosh stresses great importance on the Zemiras of Motzoi Shabbos when we sing about Eliyahu HaNavi and we sing about the Geula which we pray for, v'imhera v'yomeinu. And he says this in Chelek Beis Sadi Hei, that the Zemiras of Motzoi Shabbos are very important to be sung, not to neglect the mitzvah of Malava Malka. I'd like to end off with a story, one of my favorite stories which I've heard, about Dinah Abramsky. Dinah Abramsky, Zichrono Livracha, who was one of the greatest Gedolei Rabbonim we've ever had in England. He went to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he was for a long time in the London based din. And somebody once asked him in his later years, "Dinah Abramsky, you're such a great Rav, but why is it, do you think, your children went astray? Because Nebuch, his children, did not follow his path." He said, "My mistake was that I did not sing Zemiras at my Shabbos table." And when I say this to people, they say, "Oh, that's a bit far-fetched, isn't it?" He said the reason why his children went astray was because he did not sing Zemiras. That was his answer. We don't have to philosophize on it. He failed to sing Zemiras at his Shabbos table, and he felt that that was the sole reason why his children went astray. Think of your own reasons, but I find it very dynamic. I find it striking that that was his answer. That we should make sure that when we sing at our Shabbos table, not just to say the Divrei Torah, which is a very important and integral part, but we sing those Zemiras that our children feel the Shabbos and that they grow up feeling that togetherness of the family. Because when you're singing together, they feel this achdus and they feel this love coming across to them and this beautiful spirituality of Yiddishkeit which sticks and grows with them. And without that emotion, Hashim Ore Halev, without that emotion, a person grows up without appreciating fully the Yiddishkeit which is handed down to us midor l'dor. And I think that story of Dinah Abramsky is a very important one for us to carry forward. Thank you very much.